When's the last time you told someone, "I love you"? Was it a genuine statement, or did you have some ulterior motives? In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul informs us that anything done without love is tainted. This even applies to spiritual gifts. Pastor Seawright brings to us part 7 of our series on body work, with today's sermon called "Something Can Add Up to Nothing." Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. All right. If you will, join with me in a quick word of prayer. Lord God, how great you are. And Lord, we lift your name on high. Father, we thank you for every blessing. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And Lord, on today I ask that you show yourself strong in the midst of your people. Lord, I know you're already here, for I feel your presence. Lord, now I ask that you anoint all hearts, and Holy Spirit, anoint all minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have Bibles or tablets, I ask you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. And while you're finding that, let me just share something with you all. God is a good God. he's an awesome God, and he gives you the desires of your heart. And if your desire is to improve his ministry, he will make ways to do that. And I say that because I divided my day up in hours and just tried to do an overview as to how I, you know, go throughout my life. And it was interesting because, you know, I was telling this to Karen the other night. I said, now from like 11:30 to 6:30, you sleep. Ideally, you sleep, right? So that gives you about 7 to 8. You wake up, and then you know, get yourself prepared. You go to work. So from 5:30, you're there at work. Then you have a second job that you have to do from, you know, about 3 to 4 hours. But let's leave that second job out for a minute. So, then you get to the house at about 6:30. So let's say 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30. It's time to go to bed again. But it takes you, on average, about 20 hours to get a sermon ready. On average, about 15, 16 to 20 hours to get a sermon ready. So, how are you going to get those 20 hours? Let's see. Well, you got a second job. So that second job is going to take about eight of them right there. So that's eight of those 4 hours that you got a day, if you will. So how are you going to get this 20 hours? Well, you get this 20 hours by you got to borrow some from sleep. You got to sneak in a little bit at work, right? And then your Saturday's got to be packed, right? Lord forbid a funeral or a wedding. Lord forbid that. Well, this week, like I said, and God gives you the desires of your heart, and you want to make sure that his work advances. So this week, he blessed. And he blessed with a way where I can get rid of a second job. And he did that through a promotion. So if the desire of my heart is to make sure that his ministry is right, then I truly believe that he's going to give me the time to do that. Amen. Amen. So, let's see what I got with these 20 hours I did here. Something can add up to nothing. That's the title. Something can add up to nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Something can add up to nothing. Something can add up to nothing. Agape. You've all heard this term. I'm quite sure here or outside of here. Agape love. Not eros. Not eros, that physical, sexual type of love. I want you, therefore I love you. Not that. And not storge, that family love, since we are blood, therefore I love you. And not philia, deep friendship love. You my homie, my dog, my boy, my girl, therefore I love you. No, agape love is that type of love that's a benevolent love shown by not doing what a person that is loved desires, but what the one who loves deems as needed by the one loved. Y'all hear that? Not doing what somebody that you love thinks is needed, but doing what they actually need. This is a supernatural love. This love is not normal. It's not common. It is not usual. Yet, we've been duped into believing that we can. We can, in our fallen state, we can actually muster up this love. That we can conjure up this love. That this type of love can come through us. Just by our own efforts. We've been duped into thinking that. And if this is the case, then why then did Jesus say in John, the 13th chapter, verses 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If we can do this thing on our own, then why was it a new commandment? Why was it a new commandment? See, it's hard loving jacked up people like this. It's hard loving jacked up people like agape. And it's hard loving people like this because you're jacked up. So you're trying to love jacked up people like this, and you're jacked up too. That's a challenge. That's not something that can be just conjured up. It has to come from on high. Amen. You need God to carry out a change, a difference, a transformation to love like this. Right? And here's the amazing and shocking thing. If you read Romans 5:5, it reads like this: "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out or shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The shocking part is this: when God has given us the resources to love like this, the ability to love like this, we choose not to. We choose not to. God's love, not man's love, has been poured out, shed abroad in our hearts, and yet we still struggle to love. We are still on that struggle bus once it comes to loving one another. So what's the big deal? Why is this such a big deal? It's a big deal because everything a Christian does should be motivated by love. It should be motivated by love. What's the big deal? Because everything done without love will be tainted. It will be tainted. Even spiritual gifts. If you try to go ahead and operate your spiritual gifts without love, guess what? It can fall short. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 says. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire." So, without love, the operation or the use of your gift in the end will be three things. It will be as if you've communicated nothing. And that's in verse 1. It'll be as if you've contributed nothing. That's verse 2. And it will be as if you will be compensated nothing. That's verse 3. Verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging symbol." Recently, I watched this documentary. This documentary was on great speakers, and they said that these speakers were known by transcending lines that they would give during a speech. You know, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." That's Kennedy. "You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life. That's Church Hill. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. Lincoln, right? Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Martin Luther King. And these are the folks that they brought up and said that these lines are transcending. Well, Paul here said in an exaggerated grammar, if you look at the grammar of this sentence, he was exaggerating here. And he said, you know, if I or if you had the oration skills, the speaking skills of the best of them, and had no love, in the end, it would be as if you communicated nothing. See, the Corinthian church, they were all up and fussing all about tongues, right? Everybody wanted tongues, 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 so that they can speak. But if it was done in selfishness or in any type of motive other than love, it was nothing. And this noisy gong and clanging cymbal is a reference to the pagan worship that they left behind, because that's what was going on in their false worship, where all of these gongs and cymbals and trumpets and everything were just building everyone up into a frenzy where they were going crazy and they could speak aesthetically. You know, if you get so geeked, you ever got so geeked and so worked up, your words get mixed up and you're like, it's so good. Yeah. And you have to calm yourself down. Oh, I meant to say it was so good. That's what they were doing. They were getting all these instruments and banging them all together to geek you all up. Think about it. Paul was making reference to the aesthetic gifts. If you look in chapter 12, we covered that in these past weeks. Look through chapter 12. He had like divisions, if you will, of gifts. And he first addressed the aesthetic gifts here. Aesthetic meaning like the showy gifts. The gifts that like puts you on Front Street, if you will. Tongues, everybody could hear the tongues, right? Everybody could hear the tongues. So that's what the fuss was about, was the tongues. And it's interesting that he used gongs and cymbals to make an example of this, because think about it, the noisiest instrument in the orchestra is what? Bang, and da 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 and da da da, right? And the violin over there, like, right? And then when you think of brass and copper and everything else, brass, well, that has meaning in our language too. Brass as in rank, right? You got rank if you look at it in terms of military. Brass also means the audacity, the nerve, the unmitigated gall, as you would say, Elder Williamson, right? Arrogance that some people have. Right? The arrogance that some people have. It's in your face. And these gifts, they wanted them because, you know, people could easily see that, hey, I'm over here speaking. But if that was done without love, you were communicating nothing. Nothing. And it's interesting, too, because without love, think about it, both the possessor of the gift and the one that did not possess the gift had to be careful with their attitude. Think about it. The possessor, he had to be careful because he couldn't be what? Puffed up, right? Yeah, I got this thing and you don't, right? But then the one that doesn't have it, they can't be over there envious and jealous and think they somebody because they can speak, right? But that's not just with tongues. That's with every gift. I guess C. Wright, he's been promoted to supervisor this week. Look at, thank he something. Nah. I'm just happy. That's all. Right? It's not just with tongues. It's with every blessing. Sometimes people are blessed and other people like treat them as if they have to apologize for this blessing. Like you should apologize for being blessed. As my mother said, girl, please. Right? And it says, it's interesting too, because it's not like, and let me make sure that I'm clear with this teaching. When he was talking about the tongues of men and of angels, right? Some theologians say the tongues of angels refer to the fact that angels have their own language. All right? Therefore, Paul was saying, if I spoke in their language. But then you have another set of theologians that say, no, because when you look all throughout the Bible, the angels were talking in our language, or language that could communicate to people, right? So therefore, Paul, because once again, we got to remind you all that he was exaggerating here. So he was saying that if I could speak just as eloquently as the best of them, or as eloquent as an angel, not in an angel's language, but as eloquent as an angel, right? So you have two sides to this, but here's the point. Whatever you speak, whatever language you speak it in, if it's not in love, it will amount to nothing. Nothing. Something can add up to nothing if it's not done in love. Goes on to say in verse 2 about contributing nothing. Verse 2 reads, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." Woo. I am nothing. You know, when you look throughout history, you see the great teachers like Socrates. Socrates was considered one of the wisest men that ever lived. One of the wisest people that ever lived. And he developed a method of teaching, that Socratic method, where you discovered and probed issues or topics with questions until it gave you like better understanding of it, right? Well, Socrates, he teaches Plato, and Plato teaches Aristotle, and Aristotle, he teaches Alexander the Great. So all of this teaching keeps going on and on and on. But the deep thing is that Paul was pointing out here about the instructing, the wonder-working gifts that God will gift people with. Aesthetic was on the first verse. Then he goes to all of these instructing or instructive gifts like teaching and preaching and things of that nature. And he says, if these are done without love, guess what? It amounts to nothing. Nothing. He exaggerates once again. And he says, if I can teach like Socrates, if you will, if I can teach like the best of them, and if I can even have faith to face mountain-sized problems and move those problems out my way. If I do it and don't have love, it contributes nothing. The word contribute means that you're trying to give somebody something. You're trying to contribute, add to their life, add to their existence, if you will. And if you do this in arrogance and everything else, in the end, it will be as if you've done nothing. 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 See, in the end, it's as if you came to the table with no dish. You came to the potluck to eat, and you didn't bring nothing. You came to the love feast, and all you brought was a plate. You contribute nothing. Paul states, without love, you will not communicate nothing, contribute nothing. And then in the third verse, he says, you'll be compensated nothing. The third verse says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. We've all heard of Mother Teresa and her sacrifices to aid the children, and Gandhi and his sacrificial life to lead folks to a better standing in society. And once again, Lincoln and Martin Luther King with their sacrificial service to a point where they sacrificed their lives for the greater good. And Paul said, if I would do this like the best of them, he was exaggerating. If I was a Martin Luther, Lincoln, and Teresa all combined, if I did this and I did it without love, in the end, I would be compensated nothing. Nothing. It would be burned up, just like we said and read just earlier. It'll be burned up. Burned up. You know, Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 22 to 23, you know, that's a scary thing. Because it reads this, like somebody's coming to the throne as if they're going to get a paycheck. They come into God as if they're going to get something out of all they've done. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did not we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Some people think they're going to have a payday, right? These folks weren't even his. But some of us think we are going to have a payday if we operate in gifts, if we operate our gifts for our benefit. If we operate our benefit, our gifts, not only for our benefit, but for our good. It makes me feel good when people say, boy, you can preach. Boy, you can teach. Boy, you can do whatever. And it pumps me up and it makes me feel good. And I do it because I want to feel good. And I want to get that praise from you all. And then, because I want to like get my praise on for me, all of a sudden I stifle praise for him. Your gifts are for others. Your gifts are for others. And if you do not use those gifts for others, you will not communicate anything. You will not contribute anything. And you will not be compensated in the end for anything. So you have a decision to make. God has blessed you with gifts. If you are his, he's blessed you with gifts to help this church. How will you operate those gifts? Will you operate those gifts in love? Or will you operate them selfishly, trying to get a one-up on somebody? Or will it be for the good of the church? How will you do it? And like I said, this love is not a love that you can just all of a sudden muster up. You got to pray. You got to, Lord, shed that love abroad in my heart. Let me feel that. Let me feel it. Because that joke over there, Lord, give me that love. Give me that love, right? Give me that love. And the more you have that conflict, you got to say, Lord, give me that love. I need it now. She's standing right there. Right? Lord, bless my communication. Because she's standing right there. Lord, let me not contribute what I want right now. Because she's standing right there. Right? That's what you have to do. Decision moment, saints. Let us stand. This is a love from on high. It's a love from on high. It's a love that God gives. And this love, we're going to see next week just how this love just grows and grows. And it permeates throughout the church and it permeates throughout every gift. And that's what we will see. But this love, a lot of folks ignore. Now, I was at a funeral yesterday. And in your mind, you're saying, Lord, I know you love every soul that is here. But I just wish that they loved you back. That they loved you back. And here I stand today just saying, do you love him like he loves you? Because he gave his all for you. He gave it all for you. Do you love him like he loves you? If you do, then the proper response is to give your all for him. Is there one today? Give your all for him. He made the first move. He gave his all for you. Gave his only son for you. Is there one? And as I say each week, there may be one that just wants to just, you know, it's not about salvation. It's just about just pushing that reset button. I just want to recalibrate, just calibrate. You know, in the parking lot, you got to sometimes just drive your car in a circle just to get that compass back in order. And here's a time for, you know, you can do that. You can do just that. Lord, make sure that I'm traveling in the right direction here. Come today. And we may have visitors here that have come on a few occasions and say, you know what, I like what's going on here. And I want to be part of it. And I tell you all, the more the merrier. Come. We need you. We will work you. Is there one?
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.